We are continuing now with the Rambam's principles of how to determine the count of the mitzvot. How do we know which are the 248 positive ones and the 365 negative ones? We're up to what he calls Hasharash Hashishi, the sixth principle or root, you know, foundation. He writes the following, HaMitzvah Shiyiyeh Bo Aseh V'lo Saseh. What happens if a mitzvah has both a positive and a negative side to it? Sounds very weird. We know that there are 248 positive mitzvahs, and we take them as being just that, purely positive mitzvahs. A mitzvah like to sit in the sukkah, to blow the shofar, to take hold of the lulav, to give tzedakah. There's only a positive side to it. There's no sinful side, no negative side to it. But then there are the negative ones, 365 of them, that are purely negative. Don't steal, don't lie, don't commit all of the gilui arayos, the acts of sexual immorality, and so on. Purely positive or purely negative is the way we define mitzvot, the do's versus the don'ts. But the Rambam says that it can be more complex than that. A mitzvah shiyeh bo aseh v'lo saseh. Whatever mitzvah has both a positive and a negative side to it. So the Rambam says this is the rule. Ro'i limno saseh shabah im mitzvot saseh, v'lav shabah im mitzvot saseh. That one mitzvah isn't really one mitzvah. We have to subdivide it into the two different statements. If there's a positive part of it that states to do something, then that's counted in 248 pluses, the positive ones. And if there's a negative side that prohibits us from doing something, so then, of course, it counts in the negative one. And he says that there are a number of different ways in which this works out, different kinds of application of it. So the first example of it, according to the Rambam, is what's a situation where the Torah clearly, sometimes in the same place, sometimes in different places, will talk about the same topic, but will indicate both a positive and a negative side. Let's take the example of Shabbos, for instance. For Shabbos, there is a positive mitzvah that the Torah has in Parshas Mishpatim, which says, "Uvayom hashvi tish bos." On the seventh day, you must rest. So if we rest on the seventh day, if we're good, we're Shomer Shabbos, like we say. We guard the Shabbos, and we make sure that we rest and protect it from violating it in any of the forbidden manners of work, then according to the halacha, that rest is fulfilling a positive mitzvah of the Torah. We get credit for resting as we do for putting on tefillin or sitting in the sukkah or doing any of the other positive mitzvahs. On the other hand, more famous than that pasuk is the pasuk that's found in Yeseres HaDivros, where the Torah tells us about Shabbos and explicitly states there what do we have to do. Lo sasekom alocha, atovin chvitecha, avdecha, yamascha, vehemtecha, vegeyecha, shevishurecha. Don't do any work. Not you. Not your spouse, not your children, not the servants who work for you. Losasi kamalach is a very, very strong negative commandment and carries a very serious punishment for the violation of Shabbos, someone who's machal Shabbos. So now we have two different mitzvahs regarding Shabbos. One is positive, one is negative. What do we do in terms of the count? Very simple, says Rambam. We count both of them. They are both considered as God's commandments, and therefore they certainly should be counted. A similar thing exists when it comes to the Yom Tovim. You take, for instance, Yom HaKippurim. The Torah tells us in the negative way, that any soul that will, any person that means that who will not afflict themselves on Yom Kippur, v'nichmasa, they will be subject to the punishment known as kares, which means you can lose some of your years in this world, or even more grave, you can lose olam haba, the world to come, because you're not afflicting yourself. On the contrary, you're eating and you're drinking, you're doing very, very serious high-level transgressions. So that is clearly understood as a negative commandment. On the other hand, there is also a positive commandment regarding Yom Kippur. And the positive commandment really addresses the same topic from a different formulation. It writes in the Torah, V'inisem es nafshosechem, you shall afflict your souls, meaning your bodies in this case. How do you afflict it? By denying ourselves food, the prohibition against eating and drinking, the prohibition against washing ourselves, the prohibition against anointing our bodies, and so on. There's chamisha nuyim. There are five different categories of affliction that we have to engage in. And so when we allow ourselves to be afflicted by not pampering ourselves, not taking care of our basic bodily needs as we normally would, so those afflictions are fulfilling the mitzvah of inisem nafshoseichem, and we get credit for doing something positive. It's not just that we stayed away from what is prohibited and didn't violate the negative. So that's the first example where you have two different mitzvahs. One is a positive formulation, one is a negative formulation, and we get both counted into two different columns. Next one, it gets more interesting as we go on. The next example is what's called in the Gemara, Lav Shekidmo Aseh. Not just is there a statement of a negative commandment, but a negative commandment which is preceded by a positive commandment. So the example of this is found in Parshas Ki Tzeitzeh. It's only one of several examples. The Torah talks about a situation in Parshas Ki Tzeitzeh where a person is out in the field, and it says the following: Ki yimsa ish nara basula ashalo arasa. If a man is outside, he's in the field, a lonely location, and he comes across a young woman who's a basula, who's still a virgin, who has not been betrothed to any man, she's single, okay? Utfasa, he sees this opportunity, there's no one around, they're isolated in a very desolate area. He grabs hold of her, v'shachavima, he forces himself upon her, v'nimtza'u. And then ultimately, what's happened, it's been discovered. Now, obviously, this woman is totally innocent because she was raped. This was not with consent. Tafasa means he seized her, he took hold of her, he overpowered her, and he forced her to submit. So the Torah writes the following: When Asan Ha'isha Shochevi Mali Avi Hanara Chamishim Kesev, he now must pay to the father of this young woman. And Nara is a woman who's like 12 and a half years old, right? That Nara is going to now, for her family, be given a payment as a kind of a punishment for him of 50 silver coins, but that's only part of it. The most important part is what comes next. Velo sihiel isha, and he shall take her as a wife, tachas she'ina, because he raped her, he humbled her, he humiliated her, which of course would mean that it would be much more difficult to find some guy who's willing to marry her after this. And then the Torah continues, lo yuchal shalcha koyamav. He is not able, he is not permitted to send her away for all of his days. This is called a mitzvah lo saseh. It's a prohibition for him to try to give her a get, and he is not allowed to, and the Beis Din will not allow him to give a get. You need a Beis Din to give a get. And so we have here a positive commandment in terms of marrying her, lo sihiel isha. He is literally forced, like what we would call a shotgun marriage. He is forced to marry her, and he is absolutely prohibited from divorcing her. Okay, so the Rama says these are counted as two separate mitzvahs. There is the mitzvah to marry her in the first place, and then there is the other mitzvah. Once he is married to her, he, unlike every other Jew, is locked into this marriage for his entire life. He is not able to send her away. So that's the second category where you have one topic, but really two separate mitzvahs, one counted in the positive column, the other counted in the negative column. The third example, it's called lav shenitak li'asei, a lav which is somehow corrected by means of the assay. That means that first comes, right, the lav comes first, and then comes the assay. How does it work? So the Torah has that example, a very famous case known as Shiluach HaKen. Shiluach HaKen is where the person is walking on the road, Parshas Ki Tzeitzeh, lo and behold, he sees a nest, and you have the mother bird hovering over the eggs or over the little baby chicks that have already hatched. What does the Torah tell us? Immediately, it says, lo tikach ha'ema ha'banim. Just leave it alone. Walk by, admire it, you can stop and look, but don't disturb the mother, don't disturb the baby birds or the nesting mother with the eggs. Lo sikach ma'em al habanim. Okay? Do not take the mother together with the baby birds. That is a negative commandment. If he takes the mother and the babies, he's violating his negative commandment. If there would be witnesses on the scene and they warned him, it would receive malchus, a punishment of 39 lashes. But after saying, do not take the mother and the babies, then the Torah goes on to say, shaleach t'shalach esa'im, v'esabanim tikach lach. What does that mean? It means that if he did make the mistake of taking the mother together with the babies, then he has a way to somehow rectify the terrible sin he committed. Send away the mother bird, and the babies you can take, right? So that's understood as a lav hanitak li'asei. He has a way to correct it. Initially, of course, the first thing should be shaleach t'shalach es ha'em. He should first send away the babies, and then if he wants the mother bird, and then if he wants, take the babies. But if he didn't, he can rectify the situation afterwards, okay? So the Rambam says that even though this is all tied together as one big thing, clearly those are two separate mitzvahs. It is a negative commandment to take the mother bird with the baby birds, and it is a positive commandment. Sometimes it would happen, you know, correctly before by sending away the mother bird and then taking the babies. But if he didn't, it's lav shenitak liyaseh. He can rectify the mistake. He cannot undo the mistake. As if he goes back into the past by now taking corrective action, sending away the mother bird after having taken it, is going to undo the negative commandment that he violated in taking the babies together with the mother, and then he will avoid having the punishment of Malkus. We see this in a number of different places where the Torah gives you this kind of ability to correct something. The Torah says, Lo sigzol, do not steal. And then it says, Heheshiv zegzela shegazal. But if you stole, return the stolen property, and so on. Okay? So we see that sometimes commandment in the Torah, mitzvah in the Torah, is not just one mitzvah. It can have multiple sides to it. It can be positive and can be negative. And each one is counted in the system as part of the 613 commandments. Take care. Be well. Bye-bye.